We're continuing in Shmuel Aleph Perek Tezayin. On Pasuk Yud Beis. So now Shmuel is telling Yishai, he's asking Yishai, don't you have another son? So now so Pasuk Yud Beis, we're told the following. Vayishlach, and he sent, Vayiviehu, and he brought him, and he brings the youngest son. Vuhu Admoni, and he's red, Im Yefe Einayim, with nice eyes, Vitov Roi, and he's good looking. Vayomer Hashem, Kum Mishachehu Kizehu. Get up and anoint him, because this is the one. Okay, so let's see what the Malbim has to say. Some very interesting things. Vuad Moni, so Rashi says, this is the pasuk that really shows what Hashem meant when he told Shmuel that people look one way, look at things one way, and Hashem looks at things the other ways. Because you look at David is red. That means the attribute of red is very strong, meaning to say that like he's born under the planet of Mars, and he was a one who was very adept at spilling blood. So that's usually not, you know, such a wonderful attribute. On the other hand, there are also some good things about him. He has nice eyes, he's good looking, and the Malbim says this really testifies to the fact that the fellow is a very clever fellow, has a good nature, and if a human being would have to make a decision based on the pros and cons of such a person, so Shmuel would have figured that he was not worthy to be a king, because his natural temperament is very to kill. He would not be the one to be the king. But Hashem looks into the hearts, and he knows that because he has those good eyes, that he will make the correct free will choices and to do things only based on what Hashem wants him to do. And even though he has a very bad temperament in terms of blood, that's his nature, but he will use it only to fight wars for Hashem and to destroy the people that are bad people. And that's what Hashem wants. And even if a person has a tendency in his nature to do things that are harmful, but if the person has ultimately the control over that, because he'll make the correct free will choices, then that really is a wonderful type of person. So therefore, Shmuel on his own would not want to pick such a person. Clearly someone like that would be looking like an Ace of Harosha type of figure. And yeah, an Ace of Harosha had tremendous potential too, if he would have used it properly. But he didn't. So historically, somebody looking like this temperament would not be a good person to be the king. And Hashem's saying, no, get up and anoint this vote, ki zehu, because he is the one that I want. And that's exactly what the Medrash says. When Shmuel saw that he was red, he was afraid he's going to be a murderer like Esav. And Hashem says, but he has good eyes. He has nice eyes. When Esav did things, he did it on his own. But when David will do things, he will do it with the permission of the Sanhedrin. And only when the Sanhedrin would give him permission to kill, he would kill. Okay, because that was the good part of the temperament, that the eyes would say, hang on, you know, I got to first speak to the Bezdin. And that's what Hashem says, go anoint him because he's the one. And the Gemara says, Rav Shimon Malil says, ki zehu, zehu b'olam hazeh, v'zolam haba. This is the one for this world, this is the one for the world to come. That even when he's in this world, his nature might be towards things of this world, because he's red. But still in all, because of the overall good nature and his good seichel and his good free will choice, he's going to be a person who's going to be in Olam Haba as well. And that's why when it says that Huadmoni, it says Huadmoni, not ve yefeanayim, but im yefeanayim. In other words, he's red and he has good eyes. He's red with the good eyes, meaning the good eyes are what's going to control the red. And therefore, the violent nature within him will only be channeled in a way to destroy that which is evil. Yeah?
So, So we're saying that God knows what his free will choices are going to be down the road.
Like he knows everybody's.
But then he also knew what Shaul's would be, yet according to him, and yet he was both a failure.
Yeah, because...
So God wanted him?
No, this was the one that the people wanted. The one that the people wanted.
God said that to Shaul, here's who you've been anointed.
Yeah, but this is the one based on what the people were looking for. This is the one for him. This is the one that's meant to achieve a certain amount. This is the Mashiach ben. Remember, this is Mashiach ben Yosef, the Mashiach ben David. It's supposed to be someone like a Shaul for this. He was the best one they were going to find in that generation, and they wanted a king. So this is the one. David would not be the one, the right one to be the first one. Shaul would have to be the first one. He was the best one that they had. It wasn't, and the truth was, it wasn't the right time to ask for a king. So this is what the people wanted. Hashem said, okay, this is the best you're going to get right now. This is the best you're going to get.
And the people aren't asking for a replacement, are they?
Because they don't know how bad Shaul is. But they're going to want a replacement as soon as Shaul dies. Right? Shaul is going to die. Hashem knows that. Right? And now it's not that. And that's what we said. Hashem's saying, now it's not the people wanting a king, it's me wanting a king. This is going to be the king that I want now, not the king that you wanted. And that's the difference. The king that you wanted wasn't going to be a permanent king. The king that I wanted is going to be a permanent king.
So how Shaul's only been king for what, 3 years?
We don't know. Remember we had a whole discussion about the years of Shaul and all this? We don't know how long he's the king. It's not likely he was a king for only 2 years. He was a king for many more years. So we just don't know. That's the problem.
You're struggling with God knows he's going to fail, yet he made him king.
Well, let's have Hashem gave Adam Rishon the command at Tidei Tzadas. He knew he was going to fail. Hashem has to deal with us the way, you know, without, you know, in a way as if we don't know what's going to happen. And it gives us the free will choice. It was a free will choice, that's all. If Shaul would have made the right field choices, then things would have worked out better. That's the way it always is. We can't contemplate. But when Hashem is telling him, this is the one I really want, and this is the one Hashem really wanted, David HaMelech was the king that Hashem really wanted. Because ultimately from him will come the final Mashiach, which will be true. So ultimately that with the mistakes and everything, that's the one. So, as we said before, many moons ago, with Reb Tzadok in his Sefer Poked HaKorim, on page Zayin Amud Aleph, he said there's two ways to overcome the Yetzer Hara. He says, one way is we call the way of Iskafia, is subjugating, suppressing, vanquishing, like people like Eliyahu HaNavi, like the Mashiach ben Yosef. And then you have the opposite approach of Ishapche, of turning it around. And taking the Yetzer Hara and sublimating it for the uses that you want, like David HaMelech. And the expressions that they use from Chazal, he says, it says that after, like the analogy of the Yetzer Hara, the Gemara in Sukkah says that when the Mashiach comes, the Yetzer Hara is going to be slaughtered. He's going to be slaughtered. So, what does that mean? So, you know, after you slaughter something and then the blood goes out, so to speak, you bleach out all the blood from the being that is slaughtered, and that is totally, vanquished, and it is used properly. So, when the Gemara says, you know, this is the thing, when the Gemara says the Yetzer Hara is going to be slaughtered, you can't take it literally. It's not to be taken literally, we're just going to kill the Yetzer Hara. That's not what it is. But rather, we vanquish it. And then we get the Yetzer Hara to be on our side. That's what happens. You, just like when you slaughter something, it has blood, it's red, it's bad, red is the bad color, but once you slaughter, you can spill out all the blood, and then the redness is gone, and so to speak, it's bleached, as it were, and now it is used for good things. That's ultimately what's going to happen before Mashiach comes. Not that there's no drives, people have drives. But the drive will now be owned by us in such a powerful way. And you know, the Yetzer Hara is, you know, whenever we do averus, we do them with much more alacrity than mitzvos. And now we're going to, you know, take that Yetzer Hara with all its redeeming qualities, and as long as it isn't channeled in a bad way, it's able to do amazing things. That's b'chol levavcha, serve Hashem with both your hearts. So that is the way of ishapcha, turning it over and changing the dynamic of it. And as we said, by Shaul, his name was Shaul, because Shaul comes from the word borrowed, and he borrowed the tactics of David HaMelech. David HaMelech had the ability to take something and turn it around. Shaul's mission was not to take something and turn it around. The real way he's supposed to do things is to destroy things. That's it. To suppress things. But he borrowed David's tactics, as it were, and although Shaul was a tzaddik, he is more apt to do iskafia, to suppress and vanquish, because he's the tzaddik. But, so therefore he made his mistake, as we said, and he said, listen, I could take bad things and make them into good. And that's why he took Agag, and he let Agag survive, because he figured, you know, I'll turn him, because there was something good coming from Agag, and that was his big mistake. So, to understand a little bit of a deeper level, just to understand exactly what's going on over here, is we know there's two basic aspects to the Yetzer Hara. There is the aspect of taiva and the aspect of kina. You have lust and jealousy. So now, taiva can be a good thing if it is channeled l'shem shemaim. On the other hand, kina in general is just bad. So the question is, so what makes the taiva go wrong? The taiva goes wrong is when you use the taiva to pursue your own agenda, which is really driven by kina. Because what's kina? Kina really, jealousy really, is you're placing your own self before others. And that's what makes you jealous of other people. And this is the redness that we're talking about. Redness, the blood boils, jealous, right? But when the redness is taken away, when you shech the Yetzer Hara, so then the taiva is a pure taiva. And then you have the taiva, will all be l'shem shemayim, and that's when you get pure chesed into this world. So that's the way David works. Yes, he has strong taivas, but he's able to overcome the kina issues. And therefore, he only uses his taivas for the right thing. So that's the redness. Yes, you know, there's a great degree of ability to do the wrong thing. There's a lot of drive. There's a lot of taiva. And if he doesn't check his kina, he'll be in big trouble. But if he does, he can make amazing use of that taiva. He has a taiva to all these beautiful words in Tehillim. Show the taiva to come close to Hashem, to yearn for Hashem. So that was the trick of David HaMelech. So just like the Gemara says, if the Yetzer comes to you, what do? He's supposed to schlep it into the base medrash. If a Yetzer comes to you with a taiva, you take it to the base of medrash, you turn that taiva into something that will be for good. You have a taiva now to learn a daf Gemara, to understand pshat in the Gemara. So Shaul used David's tools, but wasn't able to use his tools properly, while David was able to use the tools in the most beautiful way. This really is the theme of understanding how David HaMelech, even though on the surface does not look like the right man if you're in Shmuel Hanavi's shoes, but if you're in Hashem's shoes, you definitely see somebody who will use those taivas in the greatest way, and that will also be able to pull people to become closer to Hashem. So that's the understanding over there. One second. I thought there was one more thing. I guess not. I guess it will be a little later. All right, Pasuk Yud Gimel now. Vayikach Shmuel as Keren HaShemen. So Shmuel takes the horn of oil. Vayimshech Oso, and he anoints him. Bekerav Echav, amongst his brothers. Vatitzlach Ruach Hashem El David Mehayom Ahu Vamola. And the spirit of Hashem now becomes strong. And David, from this day forward, Vayakom Shmuel Vayelcha Ramasa. And Shmuel gets up and he goes to Ramah. So just some simple points first. What does Bekerev mean over here? So the Mam gives two interpretations. Bekerev, amongst. So on the one hand, he says, since this is a very holy act, He wanted to do it in front of 10 people. He wanted to be what we call Befar Hesha, wanted to be a public act. So you have Yishai, and you have his 8 sons, and Shmuel, that's already a minyan, because you know, they don't have the Shekhinah unless there's 10 people there. And there's really going to be a Shekhinah transfer, as it were, going out to David HaMelech. So the Malbim learns, it was Bekar means amongst it. It should be a group. It's a publicized thing. However, the Abarbanel learns that he didn't want it to be such a pronounced thing. He really, at this point, wanted it to be a secret. And there he learns Bekarev means from amongst, but not including everybody. And it was more of a private thing. So it's a machlokes here. Did everybody know the true nature of David HaMelech or not? Was it something that was more private, just between Shmuel and David? And if that's the case, maybe even people, even Yishai, may not have known the real truth about David yet either. Or if you're learning like the Malbim that was said in front of them, then that became the great surprise that they found out. Now, there are two things that are really, if you just look at this pasuk, incredible observations. If you notice over here, there is one thing that is totally missing in this pasuk. If you just contrast this to Shmuel's first time he met Shaul versus the first time that Shmuel is meeting David HaMelech, there's not one word spoken. Now, this is a very, very important event in Jewish history. This is the real king that Hashem really wants, is the one that is being anointed. And as the Malbim brings down from the Medrash Tanchuma in the pasuk before, "Kum Mishachehu," get up and anoint him. He said, Hashem says, "This is my Mashiach standing for you, right? And now, and you're sitting. Get up and anoint him." This is a very historical event in Jewish history. He doesn't have a word to say to the guy. That's very unusual. No words of encouragement. Nothing. And more than that, it seemed that, like, what happened? What happened to the Korban? He told Yishai, "Listen, I can't leave here till we take care of matters over here. There's a Korban to be brought. Like what's going on?" He just leaves. It's like unbelievable. So there isn't any real commentaries that explain this. I've heard a couple suggestions on this. Number one, we could say, based on the fact, like we said yesterday, that Shmuel really, his personality really fit more with Shaul's personality and not with David's personality. So, you know, it was, and Shmuel really could never really conceive of a David HaMelech being a king. And that's what the Malbim said. According to Shmuel, he really shouldn't be the king. So it's kind of, okay, I do the Rosh Hashem, and I don't really feel any connection with this guy, but the Rosh Hashem should anoint him, and he anoints him. And the truth is, he never really has any strong connection with David HaMelech. He isn't his Navi. We'll see that Noson HaNavi is the one that really deals with David HaMelech. It's not Shmuel and David. That's not a shidduch. The personality of the Navi and the personality of this king is not. Shmuel was the personality with Shaul, and he grieves over Shaul. And that was when he really felt connected. He didn't feel connected to David. You talk to people. Speech is a form of dveikus, to connect with people. He didn't feel, and Hashem never really told him that he is going to have a connection with him. Hashem just said what? Hashem said, "Take your horn and go over there, and I found the king for him." And that's it. Anoint the king. You just have to do a very functional activity. But with Shaul, I'm trying to find it right now. It seems that he kind of spoke more about that. Where is it? One second. Yeah. it says the day before Shaul stumbled upon Shmuel, so Hashem, you know, reveals to Shmuel, he says, tomorrow at this time I'm going to send to you a person from Binyamin, and you're going to anoint him to be a nugget over the Jewish, over my people, and he will save my people from the Plishtim, for I've seen that my people are crying out to me. You know, so it's, you know, it's going to help my people. There's a lot more discussion about who this king is going to be. So Hashem had more to say to Shaul about, to Shmuel about Shaul. So then Shmuel had more to deal with him. Oh, he's going to save our people. I'm going to have to talk to him. I'm going to have to do a lot of things. And, but, here he's just, it's just anointed him. He just has a functional role.
So there are two kings at this point?
Well, we'll see in a minute. We'll see in a minute. We have one that is going to be, that is anointed, but, you know, still, you can't be the official king while there's another king around, but he's in place. You know, Shmuel had to anoint him, and David had to know that he is going to be the king. Okay, but exactly who the king is, you'll see. You'll see in a minute what's going on over here. You'll see in 1 second. So that's one answer. Another answer could be that since David is the real king, sometimes when a connection is so strong, sometimes the connection transcends any use of any words at all. You don't, sometimes, you know, words cannot express the auspiciousness of the moment and how special the moment is. And sometimes words limit the beauty of the moment. And, you know, and who needs to eat at such important times like that? So why would you take such a powerful experience and reduce it down to words and to eating? So there's two ways, and maybe they can both even be true. But clearly it's an unusual thing that needs more thought. Now, let's go on to Pasuk Yud Daled. Now here it's a very important Pasuk. V'ruach Hashem sora me'im Shaul. And now, at the same time, the Spirit of Hashem has been removed from Shaul. Ubi'atu ruach ro me'is Hashem. And an evil spirit from Hashem seized Shaul. And Ralbach says it's kind of as if there was a transference from Shaul to David. As Ralbach says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Pasuk before, he says that when the Spirit came upon David, so just the way Shaul, when he had the Spirit, was very successful, right? So Hashem kind of took that Spirit away from Shaul, and he now brought it to David. There's a transference, so certainly of the spiritual power, there was a great transference, and so for all effects and purposes, Shaul is now on the way out. But now the Malbim says something very powerful. He says, what's this Ruach Hashem? He says, Hu his atzmus shefa ruchonius. This is like the concentration of the divine flow in a godly way, which really overcomes all the strengths and kochos of the person. You know, when Hashem, so to speak, he's with you, you know, it just encloses the person in a spirit of gvura, and all the amazing qualities that a person has, all the mitos that you have, just rise up to the top, and they are fulfilled in the most beautiful way. And you're filled with a ruach of chachma and das and yiras Hashem. And like your whole body just gets carried away with the tremendously great flow that's there. So, and that's an amazing thing. However, when it goes away, then it says, then there's a tremendous void that's there. And all of a sudden you realize that all that strength and courage and yira and all that stuff, it's gone. And more than that, the person feels and can tell that the difference has happened, and that confounds the person. And instead of having such a lofty spirit within the person, it becomes a depressed spirit and worry and concern. And you can understand this idea similar to the idea of tumah. Tumah happens where? When there is kedusha that is now left. Just like on a simple level, when a Jewish person dies, there's a tumah because the great neshama is left. And on many levels, you know, a person becomes tamei when certain levels have left them. So that's the same thing with shol. Once you have the spirit of Hashem in you, so you feel amazingly powerful. I mean, it's like unbelievable. It's you're psyched up, everything, and your whole being, you're firing at all thrusters. And all of a sudden, when it's gone, you just don't feel it anymore. And you know what it was like, and now you know where you're at, and the gap is way too overwhelming for the person, and the person becomes depressed from it. And he even uses the word himself, the word melancholy. He says he develops a melancholia, as it were. So this now, it's a different Shalom Melech now. It's a different Shalom Melech. Now, could be, this is the answer to what we asked last week. When Hashem said to Shmuel, go anoint David, go anoint a new king. And what was Shmuel's first reaction? Well, he's going to kill me. Well, how could he choshed such a wonderful tzaddik like Shalom Melech? How could he suspect Shalom Melech is such a tzaddik that he would kill him? So the answer is, you know, what you could, the greater the person is, if now the shift, because Shmuel knew that once there's going to be a new king, there's going to be a transfer of this Ruach Hashem. This Ruach Hashem is going to leave him. And that Ruach Hashem leaves him, as great as he was, and he became even greater with the Ruach Hashem, now when Shmuel realizes the Ruach Hashem is not there, he's not going to be himself, and there's going to be such a void of spirituality, it will create a negative. Okay, negative in him, and he's going to be a violent man. As it was true, as you see, he will kill out the city of Nov, really for no reason. For no reason at all. Why? Only because it was assumed that they were helping David HaMelech. It becomes irrational. And that's what Shmuel understood is going to happen. When he's going to find out that I had something to do with David HaMelech being the king, he's going to kill me. Which is not good. And Shmuel's not so worried about himself, he's worried more about Shaul. The Shaul will do something that's really evil. So therefore, it's not like, you know, why are you suspecting the guy out of nowhere? When Hashem pumps a person with greatness and then takes it away, the void is going to be so strong, the person can't deal with it, and he's going to do all kinds of terrible things. And that's what he was concerned about. I think that is the emes of pshat. Well, he's not just being choshed b'ksherim anymore. The guy is no longer a kosher for a person to be trusted. So that's where he's at.
Was he responsible for his actions in that respect then?
Yeah, because even when you're put over the challenge, you have to overcome the challenge. Hashem can give you these challenges. We're not saying he was mentally ill. You know, there's a lot of people who suffer.
Here in the comments, he is.
Mentally ill? No, depressed. There are many people going around this world who can suffer from depression. And Hashem wants you to deal with it. Deal with the depression that you have, and, you know, don't kill people, and don't sleep all day and not get out of bed. You have it. You have to, you know, deal with what Hashem's nisayon he's given you in the best way possible. Or in the best way for Shaul to deal with it could have been just to say, you know what, David, I'm not going to try to kill you. I understand that. I can tell I'm not the king. I'll step down. Could have stepped down. But instead, he misreads everything about that. We'll have to see how this all happens. But, you know, okay, you're not going to be the king anymore. But there's no rule that said that a king has to be a king till the day he dies.
No, I understand that. I just think it sounds like Hashem made him mentally ill.
Does it say mentally ill?
In the comments, what is it? Hear that.
And what does mentally ill mean? We're not talking
about... Another master that he's suffering from mental illness. The servants of most rulers are afraid to tell their master that he's suffering from mental illness because they suggest that they get a heart.
Oh, yeah, I understand. But, you know, again, there's mental illness. How do you want to define it? You know, most people in the world are mentally ill. You know, we have so many prescription drugs now. They do things that just don't make any sense. So you have to overcome it. You have to overcome. That's what Hashem gives you, the koiches. You have this problem. You can live with it. You can overcome the negative behavior that's going to come out of it. So you're, in other words, just like you had with great gedolim. There are great gedolim who, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, or, and others, sort of many gedolim. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, He's a big Rosh Yeshiva, right? But then he suffered a stroke, physical debilitating illnesses. And then they saw that he was learning Daf Yomi. So his son-in-law asked him, sorry, Marcus, Zichrono Levracha, his son-in-law said, was just wondering, why is he learning Daf Yomi? I mean, he's such a big scholar, he could learn Gemara in depth and all that. So he said, listen, I understand that, you know, before I had my illness, I could be a Rosh Yeshiva. After my illness, I can't be a Rosh Yeshiva anymore. My mind is not the mind it was before. But still, I can learn Daf Yomi. Or Rav Pam, Zichrono Levracha. Same thing, Rav Pam was Rosh Yeshiva, right? But then when he got older and much more ill, he knew he couldn't run the yeshiva anymore. But instead, he knew he was a very holy man, and he could be a great figurehead to jumpstart many important tzedakah campaigns. And now he became more of a person going to parlor meetings and encouraging people to give tzedakah, that a far cry from, you know, preparing shiurim to give in the yeshiva. So it's okay. I don't have the ability to be a Rosh Yeshiva anymore. You know, that's a hard thing. If a person was a Rosh Yeshiva for many, many years, I mean, that's a very prestigious position, and it's much more elevated than, quote-unquote, you know, being a fundraiser. Right? But great people, you know, he could have stubbornly said, I'm going to give the shir, I'm going to still be a Rosh Yeshiva, and he could have given shirim that were not, you know, of the quality he used to give, and deny the realities that he's in. And the guy said, listen, I have to come to terms with the fact that I'm not what I was anymore. Hashem has decided I have a different avodas Hashem. It's very hard for a person to accept that. Because a lot of people define who they are by what they were. And you can't. You can define who you are by what you are, not by what you were. So a great person will be able to overcome that and say, okay, I'm no longer a Rosh Yeshiva. I will now help Klal Yisrael by being a fundraiser. And I'll be happy. I'll be happy with that. And he still was a wonderfully person of tremendous... The chesed of Rav Pam never left him. He always was a tremendous Baal chesed. So I guess Hashem wants to spend much more time doing chesed and less time learning Torah. Okay, that's the ratzon. I learned Torah for 70 years, 75 years. Okay, now I'm going to be full-time chesed. That's what Hashem wants. I got no problem. Shaul, you know, this was the first. This could have been the first time in history where a person had the rug, you know, just taken out from under him. You don't find Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, Aaron. Moshe was a leader till the day he died. Hashem didn't, you know, a couple years before he did, you know, give him to forget his learning, and now Moshe had to learn to be a different person. Not Yoshua. If you think about it, who of the great tzaddikim in the world did Hashem all of a sudden just say, you know what? All the great kochos you have, I've taken them away. And now continue to be a good Jew without your great kochos. Think about that. Was anybody like that? Nothing's coming to mind right away. So Shaul was really given a test that nobody was tested in before. So this, you know, was a great opportunity for Shaul to teach the world, what do you do when you no longer can do what Hashem gave you the abilities to do with in the beginning? And there was no guidance in this area. There's no guidance in this area. So he failed. And there's a lot to learn from his failure. There's a lot to learn from his failure. That when Hashem has changed your koiches, you have to realize, and you see a new budding star coming along, you have to be willing to happily transfer the power and say, I will now be, you know, honorary king. David, you're the one. And things could have been a lot better. The two of them would have been together. Who knows? Could have had much better results. But instead, they, you know, Shaul forced there to be an adversarial relationship between him and David. So you didn't have the success that could have happened from that. So a person has to be willing to realize when it's time to give up the power. Okay, pasuk tesvav. Vayomru avdei Shaul elov. So now the servants of Shaul said to him, "Hinei na ruach Elokim ra'a mevati mevaitecha." He said, "Whoa! Behold, we see that a divinely bad spirit is seizing you. It's scaring you." So in other words, the servants realized this, and they even told it to him. You know, you're not yourself, O king. So Yomerna Adoneinu Avodecha Levanecha. So let our servants. What we should do is Yevakshu Ish Yodea Menagem Mechinor. We would suggest that we should look for someone who can play a musical instrument. And when this bad spirit comes over you, he will play, he'll be good for you. So the Malbim goes through the whole, you know, dynamics of the, of this illness, and says that, you know, there is, you can have help. You know, this is the first way to treat this type of depression is with music. Music is something that can help you to get back some of the good spirit that you had, to overcome this void. As we know, the tremendous power of nigun has. Nigun is a way to open up one's neshama. Your neshama is basically closed. Right? You know, had Hashem helping you make you more aware of your neshama, and that's great, and that's when all the great kochas come out. And if Hashem has left you, now it's very hard for those kochas and neshama to be expressed and realized. So, we'll have to find an artificial way to get it going, which is acceptable, and we'll get someone to play in front of you, and that music will bring out that spirit for you. So they understood this, that was to be. Now who is this servant? Who is the servant? So the Rashi tells us, this is Doeg HaAdomi. This is Doeg, who we'll see much more about Doeg. So, Pasuk Yitzai, Vayomer Shaul of it up. So Shaul said, okay, Ru'un Ali, show for me, Ish Meitiv Lanagein, Vaviosam Eloi. Get somebody who knows how to play and bring him to me. Sounds like a good idea. Now, it's interesting that they only suggested that you find anybody just a good musician. That's it. But Shaul wanted more, says the Malbim. He says, you have to find a guy, not only, you just can't pick any minstrel to play before me and to play music to make me feel better. It's got to be a person who really is a very spiritual person as well. A person who is a well-rounded spiritual individual who is deserving of being in, of me being around such a person. You know, there's a lot of musicians, you know, look at the people now who are the musicians of the world, the great musicians. They're the lowest of the low. And Shaul Melech still was a tzaddik. He says, you're going to bring me a musician who's a scum? You can't just be a musician. Let's be a guy who can play, but you, guy's a tzaddik. You can't just be anybody. So fine. So then I have to look for somebody like that. that's what it means that, yeah. Yurches. Vayan echad me'anarim. And one of the youngsters, as it were, responded. That's Doeg. Vayomer, he says, Hinei ra'isi ben li'ishai beis alachmi. I see a son to Yishai from the house of Beis Lechem. Now, here are all the virtues. Number one, Yodea Nagein. He knows how to play. Number two, V'gibor Chayil. He's a warrior. Number three, V'ish Melchama, a man of war. Number four, Unavo Navar, and he's wise. Number five, Ish Toar, a man of good stature. Number six, Vashem Imo, and Hashem is with him. So they show you all the redeeming qualities that he has. So the Malbim says how exceptional and how unusual this is. Number one, he knows music. He's mamish the best musician in the world. Yodea Nagein. He's mamish the best. But on the other hand, usually, that was a concern. Usually musicians are not very spiritual people. But now he says, he has all these other characters that are not typical of a musician. Gibor Chayil, right? Valiant, right? Usually musicians are weaklings, right? Very weak constitutions. A man of war, he knows the strategies of war. That's usually not the thing that a musician has. Navon Davar, very clever person, very intellectual. Number five, Ish Toar. Usually, they're not the most handsome people because they just go into their own world. And Hashem Imal. And more than this, he saw that he was a Yirei Elokim. He was a God-fearing individual. He went away from evil things. And that's what the Maamal says. Usually, musicians are the lowest moral people in the world. And he had his great moral constitution. So, definitely, Shmuel, Doeg is saying, we got a guy who's got all the virtues that are necessary. Now, there's much more to elaborate on that, but time is running out. So I'm just going to leave you with one last thing from the Musa Nevi'im gives us. And he says, and it could be both interpretations are correct, but he says, he says like this, I saw him, he says, this whole pasuk was doeg and was all lashon hara. It was all lashon hara. Why? That first of all, he says he knows how to play, right? So he's somebody, meaning to say that somebody that people know how to ask questions to. Gibor, someone who knows how to give answers. He's a guy who knows how to ask questions. He knows how to give good answers. A man of war, he knows how to fight the wars of Torah. Venavon davar, he understands one thing from another. Ish toar, he shows beautiful shine in halachas. Hashem imo, and halachas like him in every place. In other words, his whole pasuk was interpreted what kind of scholar he is. Much greater scholar. And we know that he said this all to get Shaul upset at him. In other words, he's just like we know, avak lashon hara, you don't say praises, excessive praises of somebody in front of another person. And remember, we learned long ago, Shaul was a person who could ask questions but couldn't answer them. He would bring up issues but never could really come to the complete answer of the situation. And you know, that's the worst thing, to bring up many questions and many issues but not really have the understanding to resolve the issue totally the way it should be resolved. So, in other words, when it came to Halacha, David HaMelech, Halacha is always like him. He's like an unbelievable guy. So, that's the Ra, because, you know, Doeg was a big advisor. You know, Doeg, whatever, was tight with Shaul. He knows, he can sense that Shaul's going to go on the way down. But if Shaul's out, Doeg's out. And, of course, with those kinds of advisors, Doeg wants to make sure he ensures his position as long as possible, and somebody keep Shaul propped up as the king. So, on the one hand, he wants to bring, it's his idea, let's get someone to make the king feel better, so at least he can function. And as long as he's functioning, I'm close with the king, so I have a position. But that guy's going to make him function. He says he doesn't want just a minstrel. See, Doeg says, let's get a minstrel. He can be a bum, as long as he makes you happy. Shaul says, no, I don't want a bum, I want a tzaddik. Got a tzaddik, that's going to be hard. So he had to find somebody really good. Somebody really good, uh-oh, this could be a problem. This could be the next king. So I've got to make Shaul hate this guy so that he'll only use him to the point that for his own use, but not to have that anything more than that. So therefore, you already can begin to see the pieces coming to play in place here, where Doeg is the one ultimately who always makes all the trouble for Shaul. And you know, you are as good as your advisors are and how well you listen to those advisors. And he had a lot of, and Doeg would always tell Shaul the things he wanted to hear. And Doeg certainly takes a great responsibility for a lot of the difficulties that happen. There's still more to talk about in this pasuk. We'll continue this.
Thank you.
This will continue after Pesach. Tomorrow we'll go back to the Shul Shasharim.